A reading from Bede's Life of St. Cuthbert, chapter 22. Now Cuthbert had great numbers of people coming to him, not just from Lindisfarne, but even from the remote parts of Britain, attracted by his reputation for miracles. They confessed their sins, confided in him about their temptations, and laid open to him the common troubles of humanity they were labouring under, all in the hope of gaining consolation from so holy a man. They were not disappointed. No one left unconsoled. No one had to carry back the burdens he came with. Spirits that were chilled with sadness, he brought back to hope again with a pious word. Those beset with worry, he brought back again to thoughts of the joy of heaven. He showed them that both good fortune and bad were transitory in this world. To those beset with temptation, he would skilfully disclose all the wiles of the devil, explaining that a soul lacking in love for God or other people is easily caught in the devil's nets, while one that is strong in the faith can, with God's grace, brush them aside like so many spiders' webs.
Your brother will rise again, Jesus reassures Martha. How so? Because I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live even though they die. As Cuthbert settled into life on Lindisfarne, his fame had spread. People came to him from all over, not just from the island itself, but even, we are told, from the remotest parts of Britain. It's an interesting historical fact that what we now see as remote island communities were on the main travel routes of their day. Us inlanders, now, to Cuthbert's contemporaries, that is remote. And people came to him because of his reputation for miracles. We see shades of what attracted people to go and see Jesus too. When they got to Cuthbert, they did one or more of three things. They confessed their sins, they told him about their temptations, and they told him about all those things that troubled them, the common troubles of humanity, as Bede puts it. They wanted his consolation, and he gave it in spades. A lovely sentence. No one left unconsoled. No one had to carry back the burdens they came with. Would that we could be half such a good friend to those we meet. Three types of troubles, and I think three types of response, which more or less map onto the troubles. It doesn't matter if they don't fit exactly. We can see the spectrum is covered. So, first for those who confess their sins. I think that is those who, in the middle paragraph in our extract, are referred to as those whose spirits are chilled with sadness. We get the idea of their sinful states leading to their spirits being chilled with sadness. It's not language we use, but it gives a good mental picture. Knowing that we keep on doing what we ought not to do leads to a spiritual chill, that's the point, an inner deadening, a turning away from the joy of life. What does Cuthbert offer these chilly souls? He brings them back to hope again. Doing so, we're told, with a pious word. I suspect our modern ears apply slightly the wrong filter here. A pious word sounds terribly worthy and preachy, rather goody-two-shoes. Go away and be good. But I don't think it means that. A pious word is telling them about the infinite grace and love and mercy of God, letting them know, really know, that all is forgiven. They are confessing. They already believe in Christ. This is reminding them that they are forgiven. Judgment and retribution are not on the agenda. Faults are wiped away in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now go and sin no more. Go and live. Cuthbert brings them back to hope with a pious word. A word of hope, not a lecture. There are times when we all get things badly wrong. We speak a harsh word, we do a thoughtless action, maybe something worse. Cuthbert reminds us to confess to God and receive his forgiveness. The pious word from God is, "You are loved and you are forgiven." And what of the second group, those who confide temptations? We go to the end of our passage, I think. To those beset with temptations, Cuthbert would skilfully disclose all the wiles of the devil. The devil is cunning. He has tricks, stratagems, and plans. In a word, he is wily. That is why those temptations keep on coming. It is the devil's work that is so. Hooray, we might say, when temptations abound. It's that nasty devil's work. Cuthbert says so. But, Cuthbert goes on to explain, it is not just the devil's work. Where he was comforting for the confessing sinner, Cuthbert is here being a little bit more confronting. Those just confessing to have been tempted seem to need a slightly sterner word. Cuthbert explains that a soul lacking in love for God or other people is easily caught in the devil's net. The devil's temptations float strongly around those who lack love for God or neighbour. Now, there is a danger here. When temptations abound, and at times they do, we can strive harder, try to be better, to do more, to be more holy, carry out more acts of service, and so on. Cuthbert is not saying that. It's not effort that is required, it is faith. Faith allows us, with God's grace, to brush aside the devil's nets like so many spiders' webs. Occasionally I remember to pray when tempted by something or other. When I do, the temptation goes. It can be as simple as that. That, I think, is part of what Cuthbert is saying. Be armed with faith, and we can brush aside temptations. If we are not, well, we can't. We're back to that thing of prior preparation again, one of our Cuthbert themes. Live life as a person of faith, and temptations can be brushed aside. And the third category, maybe the one that really matters most to us, is those common troubles of humanity. I think this is the same group as those beset with worry, it seems to fit. These come to Cuthbert and let it all spill in the way that any of us can in those times when life is overwhelming. We're told that Cuthbert brings them back to thoughts of the joy of heaven. How does he do that? He shows them that both good fortune and bad are transitory in this world. They both occur in this world for sure. Bad times pass, as do good. Both are transitory. But Cuthbert is pointing beyond this life. The pattern of ups and downs we experience is itself transitory, and we're to focus beyond that pattern. The best is yet to come. Those thoughts of the joy of heaven should be sustaining us through the ups and downs of our lives in the here and now. I wonder if they really are, though. If I or you are having a great spell, do we stop to think of heaven? To appreciate not just the transitoriness of the now, but the beauty and joy of what is to come? Or do we just revel in the pleasure of the present? And likewise, when beset with troubles in those low points, do we then turn our minds to our real home in heaven? When you pause over this little account, it is very rich. It should give us pause. If mired in a specific sin, think of the love and grace and mercy of God. He loves you. The path out has been set before you. If prone to temptation, return to your faith and pray. If suffering a period of troubles or a period of blessing, stay close to the thoughts of the joy of heaven that is to come. Amen.